This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Early in October, one of the largest nuclear reactors in the world was forced to shut down after a swarm of jellyfish flooded and clogged its water cooling pipes. The bloom of jellyfish that devastated Sweden's Oskarshamn nuclear plant is symptomatic of a global problem. Research out of the University of British Columbia shows a 62% increase in jellyfish blooms since 1950. Proliferation of the species has been crippling fishing and tourism all over the world. Blooms are increasing in frequency, intensity, and duration. Gwyn Guilford reported on the proliferation, which appears in large part to be related to the impact of humans on the oceans. We read her reporting in Quartz. And Gwyn, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
We mentioned the case of the nuclear reactor in Sweden. What are some other cases of jellyfish causing damage, and what kind of damage?
Well, they do frequently clog cooling systems of plants like the one in Sweden, nuclear plants, but also desalination plants and natural gas plants as well. And this is happening all over the world. It's happened in Israel, Maryland, California. But then there's also, you know, fishing. It's devastated fishing, explosion of jellyfish populations. For instance, in Japan. Japan has the world's biggest jellyfish. They're about the size of a telephone booth. They weigh about 440 pounds. In 2009, fishermen caught so many of these jellyfish, they actually capsized and sunk their trawler.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But pretty much every year, these giant Nomura jellyfish appear and cost Japanese fishermen usually hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. How has tourism been affected?
It's hard to get numbers on this, but it's becoming a really big problem in the Mediterranean. Areas where tourism is their main source of income are basically limited to maybe a week-long window now where there aren't jellyfish blooms. So that is going to have an impact on Mediterranean economies. And also, you know, people are getting stung a lot. The Mediterranean is definitely the biggie, but, you know, I think with the research showing that this is very likely going to continue, this explosion of jellyfish, you know, we can expect it to have a bigger impact on tourism elsewhere, too.
Any idea of what these kind of disasters cost to local economies?
It's pretty hard to get numbers on the impact of the Nomura blooms is probably the best documented, and that's $100 million roughly every year. Mm. And then, you know, I talked to the folks who run the power plant. They would not tell me how much they lost for shutting down one of their reactors. But there's a hit to revenue every time they have to close down part of their facility. So there's definitely a major impact. I mean, that particular reactor, I think, supplies like a very sizable amount of Sweden's electricity.
I also see here in the Black Sea, invasive comb jellyfish in 1982 wiped out a $350 million fishing industry. But aside from economic concerns, what kind of safety threats do jellyfish pose to humans?
Well, there's the obvious one of they sting. There are a few jellyfish that are highly lethal. The box jellyfish is the most venomous creature on the planet. They're mainly in Australia, not surprising, but they're starting to turn up in Florida, Wales. And there's also another, it's a relative of the box jellyfish. It's called the Irukandji. It's about the size of, you know, maybe like a AA battery. And it is also incredibly lethal. It can cause brain hemorrhages, heart failure. And those are turning up in Florida also. So there's definitely a potential for humans to suffer more, you know, brain hemorrhages and things like that. So I think while there definitely is, you know, we tend to associate them with either, you know, oh, they wash up on a beach and they're kind of annoying, or, you know, they sting and they're scary. The real problem here is the really terrifying thing isn't even that, you know, this tiny jellyfish can make your brain bleed. It's why this is happening.
Mm. Yes. Why are jellyfish spreading so quickly all across the world?
There are a few factors that scientists think are behind this. The one they know for sure is that, you know, as cargo shipping has expanded, ships take on water to balance out the cargo and then release it at certain points, and they basically transport species from one ecosystem to another.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about tens of millions of gallons of ballast water, right?
Yep, exactly. And so you mentioned the Black Sea. That was a result of invasive species of jellyfish being transferred to this system where it didn't have any natural predators, and it totally wiped everything out, including that, you know, $350 million fishing industry. So that factor scientists have been able to document, but this isn't a very well-funded area of science. So these are still in the hypothesis phase, but pollution is a big one. Overfishing, you know, when you wipe out the predators that eat jellyfish or compete with them for food, you basically invite them to, their populations to explode.
Mm-hmm. And what does pollution do?
So what pollution does is when you have fertilizer and sewage and things like that flushed into the ocean, they cause growth of like a tremendous amount of food that fish eat. And then as those populations explode, there's more dying fish and more excrement. And that strips oxygen from the water. Mm-hmm. And it creates areas where fish basically can't live. Fish can't live there, but jellyfish can.
Hmm.
So that basically supports this growing, thriving population of jellyfish that otherwise wouldn't be able to grow at the rate that it's doing, and it doesn't have any natural predators there. So that's, you know, I was talking about the Nomura jellyfish, the giant telephone booth size.
Uh-huh.
Scientists think that the explosion of their population is caused by runoff from the Yangtze River in China.
We're speaking with Gwen Guilford. She's a reporter and editor at Quartz, and she wrote about the alarming proliferation of jellyfish all over the world in ports, beaches, ships, and infrastructure. So a lot of evidence, it sounds like, that human activity has actually contributed to the spread of jellyfish. Can't we kill them off?
That gets to the most amazing thing about jellyfish, which is also probably the scariest. And it's basically their peculiar biology is such that they clone. In addition to reproducing, they also clone themselves. So once their populations start growing, there's a tipping point, and after you pass that, it's very hard to bring their populations back down. You could kill them, but their bodies are still there. They'll still clog a nuclear reactor cooling system. You know, South Korean scientists came up with, like, basically a kind of lawnmower to hack them all up. And that's a terrible idea because that basically accelerates their cloning process. So there's really just no good way to kill them. So you can't kill them. Meanwhile, they're able to clone themselves as long as these little sacs that they create that are called polyps can affix to hard surfaces. And this is probably the biggest problem with the entire jellyfish situation, which is that we've created so many surfaces for them to stick to.
Like ships and I'm thinking, yeah. What, deep sea wells?
Drilling platforms, jetties. I was looking at the study that was listing all the random things they found polyps stuck to. That included cellophane cigarette wrappers. Yeah.
Wowie.
So basically, those things weren't there in 1800, 1900, and now those surfaces are just, there's so many more things that they can stick to. And while they're sticking there, they are cloning. So that is very likely a massive factor behind these explosions of jellyfish that we're seeing. And it's also why it will be very hard to get their numbers back in check.
Well, that's the question, Gwen. First of all, you just mentioned historically, this has never happened before. So this is not some sort of cyclical jellyfish surge in population. I mean, do we know if this has happened in history?
It could be, actually. The big problem with the way we've approached the study of jellyfish in the past is, like, no one really counted them.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have the historical data to know for sure. What we do know is, based on very, you know, empirically conducted anecdotal research, and that does suggest that in most major marine areas, their populations are, you know, getting bigger, happening more frequently, and lasting longer.
Well, you know, from your description, it sounds like invasion of the jellyfish. Where will this end, and how could the tide turn on these creatures?
That's a great question. I think that probably one big thing that humans could do to sort of stem this explosion is overfishing. That is something that we, you know, do have control over minimizing, but getting rid of coastal infrastructure, that would be very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
And pollution, yeah, that definitely is something that we can lessen. However, aquaculture, you know, fish farming or crustacean mm-hmm. farming, mm-hmm. massive contributor to the pollution that causes those dead zones that cause, in turn, jellyfish to thrive. You know, in order to eat the amount of seafood we want to eat, we need to have aquaculture. 90% of it comes from Asia. Those developing economies are, you know, their appetites for seafood is increasing with their spending power, and that's just going to keep growing. So there are some underlying macroeconomic factors that make the situation look pretty gloomy as far as, like, bringing down the number of jellyfish.
Gwynne, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Gwynne Gilford, general reporter and editor for Quartz magazine. She wrote, "Attack of the Blob, Jellyfish Are Taking Over the Seas, and It Might Be Too Late to Stop Them." You can read the article, look at some of the graphics and the photographs at wordofmouthradio.org.